There exists on Rosh Hashanah a very interesting balance among two different, very different emotional states of mind. On the one hand, as is noted by Rav Reis and Pamei Moed, Chazal tell us on Rosh Hashanah we don't say Hallel because Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim, Lifnei Adon Kol. The books of life and the books of death are open in front of God. How is it a time to say Hallel? It's a very, very solemn time. And this is a time where we're involved in the destiny of our lives and the lives of those around us. It's also a time, the asterisks into, of tshuva. And tshuva, we know, has to be b'tchusha ritzinit. It has to be done with seriousness and with kovod rosh. And that is definitely one aspect of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah has this fear to it, this solemnness to it, this awe in it, like this trepidation. We're afraid what will be over the course of the year. And that is definitely Chilur Ada Yochezun, describing the angels in the Sadat Tokev. This fear and trepidation overcoming them is definitely one mindset that we have in our minds on Rosh Hashanah. But at the same time, we know, and this is brought in source number one, the Shulchan Aruch tells us we are told to eat, drink, and rejoice on Rosh Hashanah. And this is a directive based on a pasuk in Nehemiah, where the prophet explicitly advises us not to feel any unhappiness on the day of judgment. We were told, you know, ichlu mashmanim, shtei mamtakim, eat fat foods, delicacies, drink sweet drinks. Drink beautiful drinks. Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uzchem. The joy of Hashem, the simcha of Hashem, that's your salvation. It's a yontif. And in fact, as the Chasam Sofer notes in Source 5, when he brings down the idea of Yom Tov Shrosh Hashanah Shechal Liot B'Shabbat. Not Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, but he calls it a Yom Tov Shrosh Hashanah. It's a yontif, the beautiful clothes, preparing ourselves appropriately, don't fast. We have nice meals, so there's a simcha, there's a joy. So that's another mindset that we find on Rosh Hashanah. And the question that we need to ask ourselves, how do we balance both of these emotional states? And how do we particularly, the solemnness I can understand, there's a lot riding on the year, right? We look back over the last year, we know only too close that what could happen and the crazy things that can happen. But my friends, the bigger question is, how do we have simcha on such a day? Where is the joy emanating from? And that's going to be our major question today. Where is the simcha from Rosh Hashanah coming from? As well as, at the same time, to try to balance, what are we supposed to be feeling? The simcha, the fear, how do I try to be able to create within me this synthesis of these two really different emotional states? That's our first issue, or the major issue we're going to deal with. The second one, which is going to be a much more secondary one, is in Source 5 and 6. We know Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that there are three books that are open on Rosh Hashanah. The Book of Tzaddikim, the Book of the Rishayim, and the Book of the Benonim. And the question that's asked, it's a very basic question, is what does it mean that these books are open? Does Kadosh Baruch Hu need a book to write things down? Obviously not. How are we to characterize these books that are open? Like, what's the need of a book? Kadosh Baruch Hu knows, and it's mine. This is the Gezerah. This is the decree. What is the concept of things written down in a book? How are we to understand this? So I'd like to say at the outset that this question of the dialectical aspect of the fear and the simcha and the joy is looked at from many, many, many different vantage points. And there's a lot of ink that's written about this because it really gets to the heart and the core of what Rosh Hashanah is about. Obviously, in the short time that we have, we can't possibly cover all the different approaches. I would like to take a look at a number. And in doing so, aside from getting at different aspects of Rosh Hashanah, each level will be able to grasp a little bit of a different dimension of what the day is about. I also feel like one level may resonate with somebody while a different level may resonate with somebody else. And everyone hopefully can take out one level and be able to have this as their mindset, as their guide during Rosh Hashanah. So on one level, just to, you know, make mention of this before we begin, you have the idea that's found in source number 7, which is Ein Hazman Kishir Legiloi Simcha. You're right. The two really can work hand in hand. When we're talking about Simcha, we're not talking about outer joy. We're talking about inner joy. We're talking about the Simcha Pnimit. And that Rosh Hashanah has this inner joy of being, you know, able to Machtir Hashem as Melech, crowning God as King, at the same time, the fear of standing in judgment. So if you're going to say it's not an outward manifestation of joy, but an inner one, so perhaps it's a little bit easier to balance the two. Having said this, let us begin on the first level and develop it, Emir Tzashem. Rosh Hashanah is a time of newness. The Svarim speak about that, like the last moment right before Rosh Hashanah, the world is destroyed, and in Rosh Hashanah comes as if the world is recreated again. And the idea behind this is very simple, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evaluating on Rosh Hashanah what are our jobs, and we've been loyal to our jobs in the past in bringing about godliness in this world. Are we doing what we're supposed to do? And if yes, we will have continued blessing, and if not, there will be a removal of this blessing, removal of these items that Hashem has given us that we haven't utilized to the best of our ability to serve Him. So Rosh Hashanah is definitely a time of newness. It's a time of itchatshus. It's a time of renewal. And therefore, it's a time where we recognize that this is our ability to be able to go in the language of Pamei Moed. It's hafsharut litalo ma'aun ten shigrat ha-teva matbiya v'litmale b'simcha primi. Anytime you have anything new, it always brings a simcha. You have a new dress, you have you know, whatever it is, you get a new whatever it is, new gadget, new kitchen utensil. Anytime you have something new, you're happy. You feel simcha. There's a certain joy that wears off. The new year, the start of a new cycle, the start of the ability to have a fresh start. You know, it's almost like, you know, kids at the beginning of the school year when their notebooks are clean and their pencil case and their briefcases all, you know, misudara, all perfectly in order. There's that, I'm starting a new year with a new teacher. We're going to start fresh. Everything is going to be great. That feeling of newness, a new job, we're going to start off on the right foot. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. I have this feeling of newness that here I am. I'm ready to be Mamlech Hashem Kemelech. I'm ready to make Hashem king over me. And that feeling of I'm ready to dedicate or rededicate myself to what my mission is in this world is a definite feeling of joy, a feeling of inner happiness. And we know the Sfasemis writes in source number 11, and he says, Rosh Hashanah is the time where we accept the yoke of God's kingship on us. And this is a cause for great joy. And we also know, and why is it so imperative that we have the feeling of joy? Because any mitzvah that Klal Yisrael begin with simcha, with joy, then they continually do this with simcha. Why is simcha so important in Rosh Hashanah? Because if we're able to accept the yoke and kingship of Hashem, the simcha with joy, with this is the greatest pleasure, this is what we want to do, if we're able to accept this on Rosh Hashanah, then it will have the effect that during the entire year, we'll be makabel, we'll receive God's yoke, God's kingship, God's rule over us, also besimcha. So we see here the imperative of being besimcha, a real joy, that this is, came chayenu v'arach yamenu, ashreinu matov chakenu, this is our greatest joy, this is our greatest pleasure, to be able to be avdei Hashem. And that is the mindset of what Rosh Hashanah is about. The Sichar Yitzchaskut, Rasi Meir Zilberberg, takes this one step further. He says, throughout the Rosh Hashanah davening, when we say, HaMelech HaKadosh, the king who is exalted, who's holy. HaMelech HaMishpat, Melech HaFetz B'chaim. Every time we use the word Melech, king, we have to understand in our mind that our job is to make God king over us. In the bracket, B'chol Matzav, U'v'chol Inyan, U'v'chol Zman. At every situation, at every time, in every circumstance. And Ma Shekhadosh Baruch Hu Mazmin Lefana B'rega Zeh, and what Hashem gives us, the opportunities at any given moment, and is that Hashem wants us at this moment to make Him king. Ukefia simcha shel mitzvah shemishtablu melo ba'tamoach b'chol inyan shezochim lasod ma Hashem Yisbaruch rotze she'aseh ka'et. Kach zochim lamalich et Hashem Yisbaruch aleinu yoter ve'yoter ad ein sof. To the extent that we have the ability at every moment to say, wow, this situation came to be because Hashem wanted me to respond in this situation. This is Hashgacha Prati. This is divine providence. This is Hashem having a relationship with me. I'm going to react appropriately in this situation with such joy because this situation is tailor-made for me. And my ability to respond in every situation enables me to ultimately, and this is what it's about, this is the grassroots, accept God's kingship with joy. And this is the idea that we say in our davening in 13, Miloch al kol haolam kulo, we ask God, you should rule over the entire world. The kol haolam, the entire world, means on all the situations, that whatever happens, we recognize that this is your will. And we want to do your will as we continue in our davening. V'yeda kopo kieta pa'alto, and every living creature will know you've created it. That we have to recognize that every single thing that happens, kieta pa'alto, you, Hashem, are the one who's creating the situation. And this is our challenge. Our challenge is to recognize, as he continues in sources 14 through 16, that from the time of Maisa Breshi, from the time of God creating the world, God has apportioned out every life circumstance that we will encounter. And everything that has happens in our lives is tailor-made for us. And our challenge is to be able to respond appropriately. And when we respond appropriately, this is our ability to say, Hashem, I am responding this way because I know this is what you've given me, and I want to be mamlich you. I want to coronate you. By responding appropriately, it's a recognition and an acknowledgement that God is indeed our king. And he understands this to be. He says, everything that happens in 15 in the asterisks, hakol madur milamala b'diyuk nifla, everything that happens is really down to the iota, tailor-made. Vako matnot atzumos finally flows, and these are great gifts for us. Let's put this in simple English before finishing off this piece. Rosh Hashanah comes. You can imagine a beautifully white, iron tablecloth. And the dishes are beautiful, and you could smell the aroma of the food. And everyone just feels this freshness, this newness. It's in the air. And husband gets up to make Kiddush, and Yankee, 5 years old, decides that he wants to pour grape juice himself. And even though we dissuade him, he says no, and he pours the grape juice not over all the tablecloth, but over his white shirt that was just freshly pressed, and obviously it's a two-day yontif, and there's grape juice or wine everywhere. Understand, my friends, that this is a matana nifla. This is a great gift. This is baduk. This is perfectly set up for us. How do we respond? There's nothing to do. You can't cry over spilled grape juice. Do you take Yankee and you scream at him and you say, Yankee, you should have been more careful? He knows he should have been more careful. He feels terrible enough. Or do you take Yankee and you swing him in the air and you say, Yankee, thank you. You have given me the opportunity to work on my midos so that I don't get angry. Yankee, I realize that this is a gift from Hashem on this Rosh Hashanah, and I refuse to get angry. And at that moment, you've been mamlich Hashem, it's melech. You've recognized that there's a higher power here. You've recognized that you're able to work through your negative midos. And in so doing, you have just coronated God as king. You've been able to take a higher force, a higher being, and make that primary in your life. And that is true of everything that happens to us on Rosh Hashanah. Sitting next to a woman who has terrible allergies, and she's sneezing the entire yontif. Giving her dirty looks isn't going to help, my friends. She wears this perfume that you feel like you're going to pass out. It's not going to help. This is, just say to ourselves, this is a matana nifla. What a great gift. The gift of allergies, the gift of perfume. Obviously, if you can move, that's one thing, but if you're stuck in that seat and there's no other place to go, then learn how to accept it, the simcha. And that is the simcha, the joy of coronating God as king. It's not only in Rosh Hashanah, my friends. It's every moment of our lives. If we have this attitude in Rosh Hashanah, this is what the Tzad Emes is saying, it's going to then domino effect into the rest of our lives. So if this is the simcha being mamlech Hashem, the simcha, the joy of taking every moment and doing what's correct, where's the pachad, where's the yira on this level? So he continues the Sichur Yitzchazkun in Source 717. He says, when we say, uvechein tein pachtecha kol masecha, God, you should place your awe, your fear on all your creatures, it doesn't mean that we should live in a state of fear. That's so un-Jewish. But rather, what it means is, Hashem, we recognize that in every action that we do, we want to have this yira, this awe, this fear, that we are doing it correctly. So Hashem, help us that we respond correctly. Help us that when we see something, that we don't automatically judge them for the negative, but we give them the benefit of the doubt. Or we don't ask questions that are inappropriate. Or we don't say things to Yankee, even when I'm dancing with him, you klutz. This is the yira. The yira is that I can be able to live a life. And it's sometimes a very fine balance. I stand in trepidation that I shouldn't mess up. I stand in trepidation with every action that I do, that it should be done correctly, that it should be done accepting your yoke of kingship on me, that this is your will, and I'm ready to accept your will as it is. And that is the greatest simcha possible. And that's what I've always said to young mothers who feel frustrated. Let's say there are no babysitters around, whatever the situation may be, and they can't go to davening or the entire davening. So they feel like, what is yontif? The answer is, what is yontif? Yontif for you is tailor-made for you. Your situation right now is to play blocks with your kids. Your situation right now is to be mamlech Hashem b'simcha. This is your situation, that God wants you to find the time, obviously, to daven the Musaf davening, to have somebody take over, a friend, whatever it may be. But most of your day, you're not going to be in shul. Most of your day, you're going to be exactly where Hashem wants you, taking care of your children, taking care of the next generation. And in so doing, you're mamlech Hashem, and you should do it b'simcha. And that's why it's so accident that the next paragraph after the yira is simcha l'artzecha v'sason l'yirecha. It's about joy. And it's so interesting that we're talking about the city of Yerushalayim. The city of Yerushalayim was known as Mesos Kol Haaretz. It was known as the place of the greatest joy. If you were depressed, you couldn't stay in Yerushalayim. But yet the name Yerushalayim is Yira, is awe. It's having that balance, the simcha of doing what Hashem wants, with the awe, with the fear. And fear is never a wrong word. With the trepidation, I shouldn't mess up. And those two can work very well hand in hand. I want to do the right thing, but I'm afraid that I may say something, I may look at somebody that may be a little bit incorrect. And that's why Elishur Rav Wolbe notes in source number 19 that our challenge really is to be able to live with this dialectic in a very balanced type of way. And hence, after Tkiya Shofar, which is the time of din, of judgment, the time where we're judged, are we living up to our expectations? The pasuk we say right afterwards is, Ashrei Ha'am Yodea Trua. Praise is a nation that knows the sound of the Trua. B'shimcha Yigilun Kol Hayom. In your name they will rejoice all day. U'besitchatcha Yarumu. It's language of joy, language of upliftment, because to accept God's yoke of kingship upon us, this is the mindset that we need to have. So my friends, level number one, the joy is accepting God's yoke of kingship. It's the newness. It's the starting afresh. It's really at every single moment, not just in davening. The Yankees, the tissue lady, the perfume lady, whatever it is, it's at every single moment, accepting God as king over you, responding correctly, and the trepidation that we feel is, are we messing up? Are we off track? And we know there could be tremendous consequences when we hurt somebody's feelings, when we say things that are inappropriate, and we do things that are inappropriate. That, my friends, is level number one that we're presenting today. Level number two, a little bit different, will begin with our Manot Hazman, where he notes in source number 20, a very deep philosophical idea, but we're familiar with this. He prefaces the idea with the Pasuk in Tehillim, where we say, Yiram hayamum lo'ot tevel v'yoshveba, naharot yimcha ukaf, yachad harim yoranenu lifnei Hashem, kival ishvot haaretz. Hashem is coming to judge the land, and everyone's excited, everyone's happy, yimcha ukaf, they're clapping their hands. Judgment, mishpat, brings simcha, brings joy. So he asks, mishpat brings joy? My normal feeling would be that mishpat, justice, if anyone ever been to a court, right, or have a court meeting, it should bring trepidation, not simcha. So this is a philosophical concept which he explains. We know that the reason why Hashem created the world is in order to give us the greatest benefit. What is the greatest benefit? That we could accrue credit to then enjoy in the next world this closeness to God. If we didn't have this world as a medium, then we would have the closeness to God, and we would have what we call the bread of shame, the nema de kisufa, that we'd feel undeserving. When you get a free gift, you feel like you're not deserving of it, and you feel like, you know, you feel embarrassed by it. So Hashem brings mishpat every year, because by bringing mishpat, he's saying, you're being judged. You're getting what you deserve. It's not just a nema de kisufa. It's not just I'm giving you all this kindness just to give you kindness. I'm giving you kindness because you deserve the kindness. And you don't deserve the kindness, you won't get it. And we know if there wasn't a judgment, then all the sins would just pile up and we would be deserving of you know, annihilation, God forbid. So mishpat, judgment in itself, is a healthy thing. Quotes the Sefer Chinuch, it's a positive thing. It allows every person, instead of just taking stock at the end of their lives, this is the greatest bracha, it's the greatest benefit that Hashem has given us. It's the ability that once a year we're able to look at the register and to see, are we bankrupt or not? And if we are, we have to reinvest and we have to do things differently. This is the greatest chesed of Hashem. So of course there's trepidation. You know, when you look at your books and you look at the plus and the minus, am I in the red and the black? Of course it brings trepidation. And here we're dealing with much more than just money. But at the same time, we thank Hashem. We say this is a gift from Hashem. And those are the two sounds of the shofar, he says. The tekiah, that sound of simcha, and the trua, that sound of trepidation. They work at the same time. Thank you, Hashem, for judging me. Thank you, Hashem, that my averos are not just adding up and piling up and then it's too late. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me a chance to do tshuva. Thank you, Hashem, for being able to rectify the books. At the same time, that simcha is there. That thank you is there at the same time. I'm nervous. I'm scared. There's a trepidation. To take this one step further, in Timeless Seasons, he quotes here, Rabbi Roberts quotes from Moshe Feinstein, that's Sal 24. He says, if a person faces a critical judgment in a court of law, he's naturally full of apprehension because he knows that the outcome is beyond his control. His fate will be determined by the judge and jury, and this fills him with fear. On Rosh Hashanah, however, when we too stand before the heavenly court, the verdict is still in our hands. Even at this advanced stage, if we undertake to correct at least some major faults and commit ourselves to better ways, we will win the day. We are the judge and jury, and the decision depends on us. If this is not a justifiable reason for, is this not a justifiable reason for simcha? Should we not feel overjoyed at the fact that despite our past misdeeds, we control our future destiny and not anyone else? Not even the Beis Din Shamala? This is the beauty of Rosh Hashanah. when Rosh Hashanah, when Nehemiah says, Al Tatzvu, don't be lost, because there's no reason to be lost. Rosh Hashanah, we're in the dark, but we can still walk out of it as free men. We hold our life and future in our own hands. All we need is a genuine desire to make amends, and a Shana Tova lies ahead. What is the simcha here? So yes, there's a simcha that Hashem allows us a time to be judged and not to have it pile up. But it goes even further than that. The simcha is that Hashem gives us the opportunity during the judgment itself for us to be able to swing the decision. We are the jury. We are the judge. We have the ability to change. And this is the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful pieces in Rosh Hashanah, Chelek Aleph of Alei Shur 26 and 27, where he says, when the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein Doni Met Adam Elulfi Maisav Shalol Sosha, that Hashem judges a person where they are now. That of course we have to deal with our past sins, and that's what Yom Kippur comes for. But Rosh Hashanah, God comes down. It's the time of Gilui Shechina, revelation of godliness. And He asks us, where are you holding right now? Bashir Husham, where are you now? And if during Tkiya Shofar and Musaf, when that is the real time of judgment, we are able to say, and this is what we're thinking during Tkiya Shofar, the blowing of the shofar, Hashem, I want my actions, my speech, my thoughts, everything about me. I want it to be totally dedicated to you, Hashem. I want to live a life where I can be malich you, I can make you king at every single moment, that I can respond correctly, that I can feel connected to you, that I'll make the right choices in life, I'll utilize my time correctly, I'll utilize my gifts correctly. If this is what we think during the time of Tkiya Shofar and Musaf, then we are judged as a tzaddik. This is where it's at. Obviously, if we're holding this way, then we have to obviously say, well, how does my past fit with where I want to be? And that's what is the impetus for tshuva, Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. But it's more than that, he says. It's not just enough to think this. We need to live 48 hours living this, which means, do we get angry at Rosh Hashanah? Do we speak appropriately on Rosh Hashanah? Do we say brachos appropriately? It's not enough just to think this. We have to show Hashem, put your money where your mouth is. Hashem, you have to say, Hashem, this is real. All year round, I'm distracted. But the core me, the real me, and that's the Tkiya Shofar. The Tkiya Shofar is coming from the depth. The Neshama Pnimi, this farm say, the inner part is screaming out. During Tkiya Shofar, we allow the inner part of ourselves. It's coming out of the breath of life that God has breathed into us. This is the core aspect of who we are. We say, Hashem, really, I want to do your will. I want to be an Eved Hashem. Help me. And at that point, if this is what we say and we live this way, then we are judged as tzaddikim. And that says in the Siva Shalom, according to Toldos Yaakov, with the Baal Toldos, where he says in the Aron 26, when we talk about these three books that are open, Hainu Shasfarim Niftachim Lifnei Kol Echad VeEchad, they're open in front of us. Shenotnim L'Kol Echad L'Chtov Et Atzmo Beizav Sefer SheYirtze. She wrote that we are told, write yourself in any book that you want. Hashem says, you decide. You want to live your life totally dedicated to Hashem? Write yourself in the book of Tzaddikim. You want to live yourself totally neglectful and forgetting Hashem, write the book of Rishayim. And you can't make up your minds, which means that you know, yeah, I want to do mitzvahs, but I also want to have a good time and I want to do whatever I feel like doing. And it depends on my mood. You know, it happens. You know, I'm only human, and if I'm in the mood, I'll do your will. And if I'm not, I won't. So write yourself in the book of Benonim, the undecided category. And this is the joy of Rosh Hashanah. The joy of Rosh Hashanah is that we write whatever sefer we want to be in. The trepidation of Rosh Hashanah is we write whatever book we want to be in. And we have to live up to those consequences. And we have to live up to this realization of who am I and where am I going? So, my friends, this is the second level of what Rosh Hashanah is about. Again, to recap, the first level, Rosh Hashanah, is about the simcha being mamlech Hashem, of incarnating God as King in every melocha kol olam kulo bechvodecha, in every aspect of my life. Trepidation, am I able to live up to this? The second aspect, the simcha, is that we're happy we're being judged. The simcha is that the judgment's in our hands. The trepidation is that we're being judged. The trepidation is that we have the judgment in our hands. And what are we going to do with it? Like, you have such an opportunity. Are you going to waste it? Are you going to blow it? Like, you're writing yourself for the whole year. Like, hello, do you realize the enormity and severity of this? Do you realize what is on the line here? And where are you, in La La Land? You're thinking about the Baal Tokeya. Is he better this year than last year? Like, hello. That's trepidation. The third of the four levels. Very, very beautiful idea, very deep idea of Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus has a number of approaches to this question. In one essay, he speaks about the pasuk that we say as one of the psukim, we say, V'zacharti b'risi Yaakov, v'afe b'risi Yitzchak. I'll remember my covenant with Yaakov and with Yitzchak, v'afe b'riti Avram Eskor, 28th second paragraph. And my covenant with Avram, I'll remember. And Chazal point out that the concept of the Zacharti, to remember, is found by Yaakov, the Zacharti Abrisi Yaakov, the Afabriti Avram Eskor, but by Yitzchak we don't have the idea of Zechira, the Afabriti Yitzchak. Why not? Because Yitzchak doesn't need to be remembered. His Ki'ilu, the ashes of the Akedah, are there by the Mizbeach at all times. And the schus of the Mesiris Nefesh of Yitzchak Avinu stands in front of Hashem at all time. Yitzchak Avinu represents, we know, he's the character of din, of justice. He's the one who represents these ashes that are in front of Hashem at all times. But on the other hand, Yitzchak Avinu represents schok. His very name means laughter. So in the whole personality of Yitzchak, you have this duality. So he says, what do we see from here? What do we learn from here? How do we reconcile this? So he says, the answer really is in Zichronos. The pasuk that we say, the pasuk that we find in Tilim Chet, is Ma enosh ki tifkerenu uven adam ki tifkedenu. Who is man that you should remember him? Who is man that you should have an accounting? And he says, and this is so crucial, the very fact that we have, that Hashem remembers things, that whatever we do has an erech, has a value, is what makes us unique and special. If we were to do a mitzvah, and then it's like forgotten, and nobody remembers it, so what value does that mitzvah have? It's limited. But if that mitzvah, and likewise that aveira, are around forever, that I've created a reality, either positive or negative. The idea of zichronos, the idea of remembrance, is the very yesod which malchus can be built. What makes us special, what makes us unique as human beings, is that our actions are remembered. And if they are remembered, it means that our actions have value, they have weight to them. And therefore, if they have value and they have weight to them, that means that what we do has import. And therefore, we have the ability to make Hashem king, because what we do has value. To see this inside, he says in the asterisk in 30. Hazikaron ma'anik erech 31. L'chol mitziot ani kreid adam. Remembrance allows us to have any value. Hazikronot ma'alim et erech adam ma'asav. They allow us to create something that's nitzrius, that's coming forever. And this is what it means when the Gemara says, we say Malchios shetam lichuni alecha, that we should make God king over us. And how do we do this? Imru lefonai zichronos, through zichronos. Because by having the zichronos, by having the remembrances, it gives weight and value to who we are. And that's why he says in 33, you're right, on the one hand, I have trepidation from the judgment. Ulan mitzad sheni hadin hu hechrechi le'etzem mauto shel adam. But this very judgment, this very idea that I remember every single thing, or God remembers everything I do, and it has import, it has weight, it's judged, that creates value. And there's a great simcha in that. Im lo ye rosh hashanah, im lo ye zichronos, im kein ein erich l'tfilah shel t'mol yoter mizeh, shel la'esef shachlu ha'bei moret t'mol. If there's no value to remembrance, then there's no value to anything I've done. I'm no different than an animal who ate grass yesterday. Both of them were, and they're no longer. Im ein din vein zikaron, ha'im mishkalo shel lashon hara shedibro pam shaveh erech yoter mizeh shel ha'shemesh shezachar lifnei shana. If there's no value to what we do, so I say lashon hara and the sun shines, it's the same thing. But hayom haras olam, today is the day of the creation of the world, really the creation of man. How is man created? Man is created because it's through his actions that have weight. And therefore, the mishpat is the crowning glory of man. Because the mishpat, the judgment, is our ability to recognize that God is judging us on every thought, on every action, on every speech, everything I do, a kol psiyo psiyo, on every step of the way, I have created a reality, and I'm being judged for that reality. Trepidation, oh my gosh, every single thing is being weighed. Nothing, kein shicha lifnei kisei kvodecha, nothing is forgotten. That nasty look, that mumbling under my breath, that comment, nothing is forgotten. Trepidation. But simcha, nothing is forgotten. Everything has value. I have value. My life has value. I am an important creation. Everything I do is important. And therefore, I have the ability, the way Hashem set up the world, to be mamlechim, to make him king over this world, because I have value in my actions. With this in mind, that the simcha is the value that we have in what we do, we can now explain, Rav Wolkin tells us in The World Within, what the idea of the Svarim Ptuchim, the open books, are about. The Chassid Yaivitz, commenting on the Mishnah, and all your deeds are recorded in a book, explains that the book is not referring to a book that's written in heaven, but rather this is the punchline to the soul of man. All the deeds and all the thoughts are recorded within the soul of man. What is this book, says the Chassid Yaivitz? It's the soul of man. Hence, the book into which HaKadosh Baruch Hu inscribes the deeds of man does not only refer to the book of remembrance into which HaKadosh Baruch Hu inscribes the good and bad deeds of a person, but this recording of our deeds by Hashem directly influences the soul. The deeds of man are etched into a soul, they penetrate its inner depth and influence his entire reality. A transgression committed or a mitzvah performed is etched into the soul of man, and therefore affects him either positively or negatively. If we understand the simcha is the fact that there is remembrance, that there is zichronos, then we need to understand that where is everything being recorded? Where is everything being remembered? If remembrance is so important, it's not just up in a book in heaven. More importantly, where is it being remembered? Within us. It affects everything we do. And recognize that whatever we do isn't just a fleeting moment or a fleeting thought or a fleeting action. It builds me. It creates me. It makes me who I am. I am the book. I write within me. I inscribe within me my entire life. One good deed written in the book means that it will propel me to do another good deed. And likewise, the opposite. So what does it mean when we daven at Rosh Hashanah, inscribe us in the book of life, 39? This prayer does not refer to an external book. We're asking that the seal of life to which the righteous merit should be instilled within our soul. The intention of our prayer is that we should merit that our soul be aroused with the desire to perform repentance. Then we'll not be like the Rishayim, God forbid, into whose souls are etched in iniquity and resistance to perform repentance. And this is what it's about. Inscribe us in the book of life means inscribe within us, inspire within us righteousness. Allow us to feel in a most proactive sense what a world of life and mitzvos are about. Katzveinu b'sefer achayim, etch into my soul, inspire me that I can live a life that's faithful to you. That's the greatest request. It's not only about a book in heaven, tov, l'chaim tovim, kol b'risecha, to write in the book good things for everybody. Of course we mean that, but it's much deeper than that. Help me, God, write within my book. Help me write within my soul. Inspire me in my book, in my soul, to do what is correct, to follow in your ways. And this is what tshuva is about. When a person, 42, commits a sin, he soils and defiles his soul. Even worse, the impurity of the sin is engraved into his soul, i.e. the pages of the books. When he wants to erase the sin and perform repentance, he must proceed in the process. As Rabbeinu Yonah explains, like the laundering of a garment, you have to remove the stain. You must change your very essence, inscribing into a book, his book, the lofty attributes of repentance. And that's why this is the Holy Service 44 that is required of us when we come to pray in Rosh Hashanah. As Rabbi Yerucham said, it appears from that man must recognize, from this, that man must recognize that his primary self is his book. Man must recognize that his primary self is his inner self and his soul, which are determined by his deeds. The more a person internalizes the truth, the easier it will be for him to perform the divine service of repentance and prayer. And that's why when we greet everybody, may you be inscribed and sealed, ktiva v'chatima, for a good year. It's not just a greeting, it's a blessing that our friend merit transforming his essence and inner world so that his book is transformed into a book of the totally righteous. My friends, it's a very deep idea, a very powerful idea, and I'd just like to add, perhaps, what we're saying here is that so often when we do a deed, we have it move outside of us, right? I helped an old lady across the street. I gave somebody a ride. I lent somebody money. I smiled at somebody. It's outside of us. Lashon Hara, I spoke it. It's now out in the air. While that is true, Zichrono says, no, you are being judged for this because everything is remembered. Where is it remembered? Not only in some elusive book, it's remembered within you. Whatever you do impacts you. Whatever you do has an effect on you. And this is the greatest book that has to be contended with, the book within ourselves, that we have to realize that whatever we do impacts who we are. And therefore, we need to make sure that we inscribe our book, and we should be inscribed for a year of righteousness, a year that will be inspired by a good deed, a year that the good deed just won't be external to us, but they are going to motivate us and allow us to be inspired and grow. That's the greatest bracha. That's the greatest blessing we could ever want. So, my friends, let's summarize what we've seen now and move, Mirtz Hashem, to our final level. Again, there's a lot more we're not touching. Level number one, the simcha, the joy, as we've spoken about, is the joy of making God king. That's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. The trepidation, how are we going to respond in every situation? On level number two, there's the joy of being judged, that our sins just don't accumulate. There's the joy of being judged, that we are the judge and jury. We pass the verdict. With that is the trepidation. My gosh, if so much is riding on the line, are we aware of how much we can change our verdict? Are we just sitting back passively and allowing an opportunity to go to waste? Or am I very conscious and aware that I hold the pen in my hands and I write what book I'd like to be in? The third level we just mentioned is that the simcha, the joy of Yontif, is the joy of that we're remembered, that we have the Sefer HaZichronos, that things aren't just fleeting, that they have no purpose. No, the fact that God remembers everything gives us an erech, gives us a value. That is what enables us to make God king, because our actions have worth and value. Not like the, you know, the power, the cow that eats the grass and who remembers it. No, every word, every action creates a reality. But that reality not only is a reality in the world, it's reality within myself. The book that we're inscribed in is the book of ourselves, of our soul. And it's that book that we want to be written in the book of righteousness that will be inspired to act in the appropriate path of tshuva. The final level, which has different dimensions to it, is a very interesting last page insight of the Marche Lev 46 through 49. Marche Lev points out, obviously there's jinn, there's judgment. I mean, every single thing is being judged. But he says, isn't it interesting that we don't have vidui, we don't have confession. Nowhere in the entire Rosh Hashanah do we say, I confess, I've done something wrong. Why not? Part of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the famous question. And he answers the following. He says, if a person is really sensitive, I don't know how many of us are on this level, quite honestly, but he mentions this nonetheless. This is in the second asterisk in 48. If a person's really sensitive, and they come to the Kotel, the Western Wall, you can't ask for personal needs. And again, most of us aren't on this level, okay? We ask for our personal needs. You're so overwhelmed and awestruck about the Kedusha, the holiness of this place, that all you can ask for is, God, build up your Shalayim. God, return your presence. It's all about Hashem. Hashem, you're in exile. Come back. You're just overwhelmed by the experience and the holiness. He says, likewise in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, God is coming in full majesty and full glory to be coronated as king. When you're experiencing this experience of coronation, of blowing the trumpets, of blowing the shofar, of our whole davening, the word repeated over and over again is Melech, Melech. We almost imagine the red carpet and Hashem is coming down in His full glory, recreating mankind, recreating the world, giving us another chance, and all He asks for us to do is to accept His sovereignty and accept His kingship. This is such an overwhelming experience. If you are caught up in that psychological moment, who can think about little old me and how I have rebelled against the king? At that moment, I can't think about rebellion. All I can think about is greatness of the king. Where do you even think about, oh, I did this and rebelled against you? I can't even open my mouth in Rosh Hashanah to say vidui, to say confession, because I'm overwhelmed by the experience of godliness that has come down into this world. That is our goal. Our goal is to feel emotionally, entirety of our being. Wow! Malchus Hashem, God's kingship everywhere. Who can think about anything else? Who can talk about any other topic at a yontif table? This is where it's at. And on this level, when we understand this, we understand that in 50, the Zoa Simcha Sedra of Pinkis, Shalai Yom Tesh Rosh Hashanah, this is the joy. Habriya Kula Omeret Shira, Al Kol Shefa Tova Shimikabelet. The whole world is singing songs to thank Hashem for all the goodness. Everything is. In Birkas HaMazon Rosh Hashanah, we should pay close attention to Hazan et Olam Kulo Betuvo, that Hashem sustains all the world with His goodness and kindness. And we should feel the Simcha of this upcoming world. Hashem is sustaining everybody. I'm focusing in. The Simcha is, yes, God is coming and there's a judgment. Have I lived up to this expectation that Hashem has had for me? Yes or no? But I'm not focusing on that right now. Obviously, there is that element. But my real focus is Simcha. My real focus is I want to be part of this parade. I want to be part of this larger picture. I want to be Mamlech Hashem. There's no place for vidui. All I want is from now on to be part of this. I can't even talk about my smallness. I just want to be part of this greater picture. And that's why, continues Rav Pinkus in another essay in 51, V'gilu Berada, our goal on Rosh Hashanah, Ha'etzahi Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah hi ayom shemekablim shaychus Hashem Yisbarach. Rosh Hashanah is about a time when we should work on a personal relationship with Hashem. Kirva Ishi Tamluchuni Alechem, a personal relationship of blowing the shofar. We say, Hashem, you are my king, I want you over me. And he says, Lufi Mida Sadin, O Lufi Aishaychur Haishi, Bishonem Mikol Olam, Mikan Mikor Hashra Lusimcha, Nara Shorosh Hashanah. And what I'm hoping is, when I have this feeling, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at me and say, all you want is a close relationship with me? Come, let me embrace you. Truer from the word reyus, friendship. Let's move together in this. And that's why there's no real contradiction between the Pachad and the Simcha in 52. The Pachad Hu Ma'adin. Yes, there's trepidation from judgment. And if we were standing in front of a regular king, we should be in trepidation. And if we don't have this feeling of closeness to Hashem, we also should feel this trepidation. But on Yantif, when we feel Imru Lufonai Malchios, when we want to make Hashem king in front of us, and we know that Hashem is the one that's judging us, and it's not Basar V'dam, it's not another mankind, but Hashem is judging us coming out of a place of kindness, coming out of a place of warmth, coming out of a place of love, of reyos. So there's the greatest simcha in the world. Who's judging me? Someone who cares about me. Someone who loves me. So on this final level, Rosh Hashanah, it's about feeling, this overwhelming feeling of laying out that red carpet, kivyachol, the blowing of the shofar, the blowing of the coronation trumpets. And you get caught up in the mood and all the singing of making Hashem, Hashem melech, Hashem malach, v'chol ma'minim, Hashem yimloch lamed. We were into the spirit the entire day. We're there. We're with the marching band. We don't think about all the times I've went over him. Right now, all I can think about is, how do I get closer to him? How do I have closeness to him? And when that's my desire, and I blow the shofar to say, Hashem, I want to make you king over me. Allow me to be able to be successful. At that moment, Hashem moves from the Kisei Adin to the Kisei Arachamim. He moves from the throne of justice to the throne of mercy. And he says, you want a relationship with me? You want to become close to me? This is all you want? So I'll judge you with kindness. I'll judge you with compassion. But we need to take that first step. We need to show that we are really desiring this as part of our lives. So on the one hand, of course, there's trepidation. We're being judged. It's written down in that big book in Shemayim, whatever that may mean. But when we feel this love, and when we feel that Hashem, I'm putting away my smallness because it's not about me today. It's about you. And only about me and how I can make you even greater in this world, that you can reveal yourself even greater. The highlight of the Malchios, the introduction, the Aleinu, that the whole world will recognize you when we're able to have that focus. And we say, Hashem, I want to make you king over every part of the world. At that point, Hashem says, this relationship will turn from the mishpat, from the din, into the rachamim. On this level, my friends, we understand that the two work hand in hand, but we've seen throughout that which is the higher emotion here is the simcha. You're right, there's no challah. We can't say challah, but we could feel challah. We could sing challah within ourselves, that we are zocha in the simcha. We're the zocha to have Hashem as our king. We're zocha to have a system where we are being judged. We're zocha not to have things as a free gift. We're zocha that Hashem cares about us. And we're zocha that Hashem tailor makes my entire life with opportunities to be able to make him king. I wish all of us that we should be inscribed in all the different books, that we should be inspired to inscribe ourselves in the book of life, that our book of life within ourselves should be dynamic and inspirational, that we should be moved toward the level of righteousness, and that ultimate book be written for the book, the year of life, and that we should be able to accept God's kingship with love, with happiness, and recognize that the trepidation is only secondary normal, but our overall feeling has to be, go home, eat, drink. Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. The joy of Hashem is going to be your salvation. Feeling that closeness, feeling that desire to serve Hashem, that is what's going to allow us to be judged and sealed for a book of kindness and a book of much bracha. Shana tova u'metuka.
Hi, Bubby. Have a good, happy year.